Blog Talk Radio.
Still feeling the pain from exiting the womb of ignorance into a world designed to kill me at birth. I am protected. The Elder Council consisting of Grand Grand and Baba, Doc Jones and Mama Ya, Lucky, Stormy, and then Antwood and Geraldine, Doc Sobol, Sister Parsi, and Brother DeBrill send forth the energy to make us feel our work is not in vain. Glory be unto their name, for they train us to adhere to the teachings of Malcolm X, Marcus Garvey,
I say, all the good African energy we give you all here on this evening. Thank you all for tuning in to Real Talk with Brothers People by way of MasterGrio.com. As usual, we always want to send a strong black shout out to Sister Jackie out there at MasterGrio.com for giving us the opportunity as well as the pleasure and the responsibility of listening and learning with the people all at the same time. What's going on, big bro?
Man, nothing but trying to survive, man, in this masquerade, bro.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Trying to overthrow white supremacy, as we always say.
Always.
That's a full-time job in itself right there.
Yes,
you know what I'm saying? It's serious business. Serious business, you know what I'm saying? Speaking of trying to overthrow white supremacy, just to throw something out there at the people as far as propaganda is concerned, I was watching CNN on the plantation today. And they showed two brothers from the New Panther Party in Philadelphia. And they asked the brother, why are you here? He said, we're tired of white supremacy. He said, well, why are you here with nightsticks and blackjacks? He said, I know nothing of what you speak. And that was it on that. It was just so beautiful.
Mm.
And it was just good to see the brothers out there doing something, you know what I'm saying? So that was cool. If that was them, you know, I've never seen only two of them in one spot.
Yeah, that's not protocol, brother.
Yeah, it's not. It's really not even. Well, you know that's a security risk. You and I know that. But you know, at least the brothers took the gumption to try to do something. I guess you know what I'm saying. And I'm not really just sold on Brother Obama. You know, he may be a real cool cat. He seems to be a real cool person. You know what I'm saying. But hey, it is what it is. He's a politician, and therefore. Guilty until proven innocent, as far as I'm concerned. And there's no personal disrespect to the brother. I hope he gets a job. Rather him than a cracker. So,
yeah.
Hey, it is what it is. And thank you all for listening tonight. We got a real good show lined up, big bro.
Yeah.
We got Sister Queen's going to call in, and we'll let her introduce herself. And as well, our big brother there, who came down to kick it with us, all the way from Illinois, Carbondale, Illinois, as a matter of fact, from Human Rights Radio. You on the line with us, big bro?
Yeah, Zolango, brother.
How you doing?
All right, what's going on?
Oh, thanks and praises, brother.
Yes,
I got a brother with me along with the Human Rights Radio Network out of Durham, North Carolina, Brother Inko Yahuru.
What's your
How you doing, Brother Yahuru?
Brother Inko?
Zolango, brother.
You're good.
What's
How
going
y'all
on,
doing,
brother?
Hey, man, it's an everyday struggle in the hood.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
You sure say the mouthful of everybody.
Man, what you say, you know what I'm saying? What the cat used to say is all good in our hood every night. I wish that was true. Only thing good about our hood every night is ain't nothing but black folk, and that's always a good thing to be surrounded by your people. But the conditions are somewhat horrible, as a matter of fact. You know what I'm saying?
Yes, sir.
And again, the improving for ourselves. You know, I mean, if you're a Christian, the old folk will tell you, you make one step, he'll make two.
No question. If you do make the one step, you'll find that out.
Yes, indeed. And then the Muslims say Allah will not change the condition of a people until the people themselves change. So it's the same thing all around the world. Same song, you know.
Same song, bro.
Sound like human rights to me.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Now, we also got a sister on the line all the way from Atlanta. Sister Queen, are you there with us, baby?
I am. Can you hear me?
I sure can. I can hear you and everything in the background. Sound like you had a good party there. Sister, how you doing? You had an RBG function?
No, I'm not. I'm actually hanging out with my seniors and senoritas doing the viewing, where I'm watching the viewing in Spanish and in English, so it's pretty dope. Everybody in here pretty much voted for Obama, so they're giving out free margaritas, so I'm here.
Oh, yeah. All right, then. All right. Well, say if you will, Sister Queen, you introduce yourself to the radio/internet crowd.
Okay, y'all. I am the one woman that is every woman. My name is Queen. I am so many things. I'm a poet. I'm an author, playwright, actress, host, producer, and trying to be a model, but I just can't seem to get this weight off. So that's me, the one woman that is every woman.
Oh, look at that. Holla about the weight. Who you trying to model for? Trying to lose weight. That don't sound like good black business to me. If they trying to tell you to lose weight, you keep all that, sister. That's what y'all do.
I mean, they just want me to lose 20 pounds. That's it. That's not a lot.
20?
Yeah, look, while I'm drinking this margarita. Yeah, that's it. That's 20.
Okay, well, that's a different subject for another day. You know?
Yes.
Yes, indeed. Well, we're pretty much at open conversation here tonight on Real Talk with Brothers Keeper. And my other guest, everybody introduce yourselves. I apologize, brothers.
Well, I introduce myself. I'm with Human Rights Radio in Springfield, Illinois. That's kind of a little bit up the road from Carbondale, but that's the closest. It's a lot closer to Memphis. It's still up south, right? You know what I'm saying?
Yes, right.
And I was blessed to have an opportunity to spend some time with you brothers out there in the streets in October of 2008, and really appreciate the work that you all are doing. It's been inspiring for us in the Human Rights Radio Network. And what we do, we kind of like do the same thing on the internet, but then we got we just use FM transmitters to broadcast information of concern to the community that we live in Springfield, Illinois. And on the phone with me is my brother out of Durham, North Carolina, Brother Inko Yahuru, who's been on for 11 years now, going on since December of 98. We've been on since November of 87. And we just, what we do is just get information out to the community free of charge, you know what I'm saying?
That's right.
That's right.
Over the FM spectrum. And in the time, we've been blessed to do a few things, and we just always try to spread the word that it is possible, because there's only three of us in the network at this time, and all of us been on the air, you know, for over 3,000 days. So it is possible to be done. We encourage everybody to try to take a shot at it, because, you know, you're going to get the story if you get out the box.
Yeah.
Stay in the box, you're going to know what they want the folks to know in the box. That's all you're going to get to know.
Yeah.
And that might not be what all you're here to do. You know what I'm saying?
Exactly.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
Your ability to do what you're here to do is going to be based on your ability to take in things from the environment you find yourself in to help you do what you're here to do. Because, you know, there ain't really nothing here that ain't here to do nothing. Everything
yeah,
is here for a purpose. Right? Even
absolutely.
Poisons and, you know what I'm saying?
Yes, sir.
All that stuff has a purpose. And definitely we do, too. And that's what we need to be seeking. And that's why we be trying to talk about human rights with the Human Rights Radio Network. Because it's all about accepting that, you know, you got something you're supposed to be about the business of. And you be about that, then that that brung you here, like everything else, will take care of everything you need. But if you don't take care of that, of course, you're going to deal with the consequences of, you know, not having the things you need and having to do things that you probably wouldn't want to do to get the things you need. Don't give you no power at all. My brother Inko there, I know you want to.
Yeah, brother, you know, right here, you explained it rather well, and, you know, and as I listened to the intro to your program, you know, the thoughts came to me, you know, those are the folks who I've been looking for, you know, for my help, you know, Dr. Clark, and, you know, reading about all the brothers and sisters who struggled before us. That's how we understand what's happening around us today, because you can look and see some of the same things that we was going through back then, we're still going through right now. So if that's the case, then what is the situation? Well, what should we do next? You know, sometimes you need to study the past so you can evaluate the situation you're in. You know?
Yeah, that's for sure. That's for sure. You know, I think that's what everybody on the line is trying to do. Sister Queen has a show coming up. Tell us about your show, Sister Queen.
I have a 3-day holiday festival coming on. It's a holiday theater festival. It's going to showcase 6 one-person stage plays, and what it's going to do is actually give back the way that artists give back. Artists give back of their time and their talent, so that's what I wanted to do around the holidays. So it's going to be 3 days of this festivities along with the stage plays, which would be myself, Malik Salam, Zahara McGill, Narubia Selah. We're going to have workshops to teach you how to put on your own festival, workshops to teach you how to be an artist and get paid for it. We're going to have workshops about health and financial things, as well as a fashion show. We're going to have live music. We're going to have free appetizers, wine tasting. I mean, it's just going to be a way for artists to get back during the holidays to get y'all kicked off right. So it's going to be a bunch of fun. Again, it is in Atlanta, but that doesn't stop anybody from donating or buying a ticket from somebody that's in Atlanta. And you can check out all that information. It's really simple at holidaytheaterfestival.com. And theater, of course, is spelled with an R-E, not an E-R. And I just created that by, you know, turning from a poet to an actress. I just created a way for everybody to be involved.
All right, dig that. What is your show pretty much about, this subject at hand?
My show is about 8 different women that are in prison. So they're pretty much talking to the parole board, trying to explain why they should be out, be considered for early release. So it's pretty much dealing with child abuse, domestic violence, prostitution, illiteracy, some other type of things, females that are in gangs. That's what my show is about. And Zahara will be doing her show called Sojourn, and that's going to be about the life of Sojourner Truth. And then Malik Salam's play is about the plight of the black man, all the way down from being a Muslim man, being raped in his Boy Scout camp, you know, and really dealing with those issues as an adult man, to pimping, to AIDS in the community. So it's just so many issues going on with each person that's going to be performing that night. And, of course, the poets are going to be phenomenal. I believe I heard that the Brothers Keepers is going to come down and do their thing. So imagine that. You know, you already know what that stuff is going to be about.
Whoa, that would be beautiful. What date you got it set for?
That's December 19th through the 21st. So you got about a good 8 weeks to get it together.
All right. Well, Brother Yerley and I will discuss that. That would be real cool. You know what I'm saying?
Yes, well, y'all should. I've come down to Memphis on several occasions. I feel like y'all can come down to Atlanta once.
Yeah. Sure we can.
Yeah, that would
all right.
I don't think I'm opposed to that.
I don't think I am either, brother.
Not at all. And
I forget the brother that's on the phone that's in Carbondale. I'm a Saluki as well, 2002, you know.
I ain't actually in Carbondale. I'm in Springfield, Illinois.
I don't know why I heard Carbondale.
That brother Jamalo said Carbondale because he knows folks in Carbondale probably. He knows he's the Slooky probably undercover or something like that. But now we kind of like about 100 miles north of Carbondale in Illinois. But I was born in Memphis and I got folks, brother and a sister, both that live in around the Atlanta area. And you know, one thing I know for sure is that our people are as diverse can get on the continent of Africa. They say they speak 2,000 languages. So, you know, there's all kind of ways we're going to reach our people and try to bring them information. And I think every opportunity to do that, it's really something that those who have the ability to do it, it's really required to do. It's in terms of, do you got any responsibilities to the community? I think what is you capable of, you know, and what can you do with that you're capable of to help better inform us so that, you know, because we all stuck with the burden of having free will, unlike all other aspects of the creation. And with this burden of free will, we really got to inform ourselves when we exercise this free will as to what we're doing in terms of how helpful it's going to be to us spiritually, mentally, and physically, you dig? And so being best informed is the only way we're going to really exercise that in a way that's going to be helpful to us in the community that we have. and through wherever, however it is, you know, like Malcolm said, if you're going to communicate anything to a people, you better be speaking their language. And some folks don't dig their information over a certain kind of a beat, you know.
Yeah.
And some people do, you know. And that's what we got to be, you know, we're not like a one-minded kind of, they speak 2,000 languages in Africa today, you know.
Yeah.
So those are 2,000 expressions of why we are and why we ain't, you know,
that's
what
right.
we are or should be what we are. What, you know what I'm saying?
That's
a
right.
lot of different understandings of how life is and what life is supposed to be about.
That's right. That's right. And the sister spoke of one of her. One of the subjects they're going to talk about is the prison industrial complex, and we've been running the prison prevention program for youth down here for quite some time. Brother Yele, let's dive into that to the whole thing of the prison industrial complex. I mean, and even today, as we saw with the election going on, they these crackers, you know. Declaring war on us on every end.
Hey, Brother Jamala, can I ask
yes,
a question?
Sir. Yes,
has there
sir.
Ever been a real white president in the White House?
There's been some real crackles in there.
No, I mean, you know, I heard one time they told us that if 1% of your blood was black, you was a nigger.
Yeah,
exactly.
The question is, has there ever been a real white man in the White House?
Ain't that something?
No.
Something to think about.
That's a good question.
I remember when I was 16. When I was 16 years old, I read a book called "The Five Negro Presidents,"
mm-hmm. right.
and man, that was that blew me out the water when I was 16
Rogers,
years old.
Brother.
Yeah, J.A. Rogers, man.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's a
you
sister named Aseth Bakufu got a book called "Six Black Presidents."
Yeah, I've heard of it. I hadn't had a chance to check it out yet, but I've definitely heard of it.
It's on our website, humanrightsradio.net.
Okay, I'm definitely gonna check that out.
Dig it. Yeah, these crackers, man, they attacking us on every single front, like Brother Malcolm said. Like you said, we're going to have to learn to speak the language of our oppressor. We can't speak to him in the language of love and understanding. He's speaking to us in the language of brutality and terrorism. You know what I'm saying? We out of our mind.
Yeah.
And first thing is you got to arm your mind. That's what the Human Rights Radio Network is about. You know, if you study positive black development programs, all of them have talked about first, before we can take action, including the Black Panther Party for Self-Defense,
mm-hmm.
founded by Huey P. Newton and Bobby Seale, the first thing you had to have was some political education, because, you know,
yeah.
a fool with a gun can't do us no good, you know what I'm saying?
Exactly.
And that's what we all about, arming yourselves with filling your mind with the necessary knowledge. And I'm one of those by any means necessary kind of brothers, so if that's what you feel comfortable doing, whatever you feel comfortable doing, I think it's your human right to do. Because I think by now you should know we are straight up in the concrete jungle.
What you say. What some things have been going on in Atlanta, Sister Queen?
One thing that's been going on here, you know, Atlanta thrives on party, and more partying. So the entertainment scene out here is really, really tough. That's what's been going on. A lot of people have been still, it doesn't seem like they've been affected by anything. I mean, parties are still going on. I'm still getting texts about parties, and poetry is still something that's relevant here, along with a lot of people doing. There are a lot of churches out here doing fundraisers, like for social action and for human rights, and proceeds from our show is going to a place called a Power Center, and they have a social action organization, and a lot of people in the church they work for the human rights out here, so it's really the same. To be honest, Atlanta is party central. You know, the strip clubs still stay packed, and that's really what's going on here, to be honest with you. That's what they do. They party. I got 3 texts right now, like, yo, come on, we're doing a viewing party hosted by V103. So we're pretty much staying on the up and up. I mean, everybody voted in massive numbers today. I went to a couple of different precincts just to go, just to see what was really going on, and everybody was packed out, you know, so everybody is pretty much excited at this particular moment. So, like myself, I'm at a bar hanging out with some folks, and that's what people are doing all around the city. They're doing viewing parties pretty much at every club out here. So people are just crossing their fingers that, you know, McCain does not get in the office.
Yeah. Well, that's overstanding. Like the last poll said, you know, now down here is a totally different story, you know what I'm saying? They've actually put one place down here They what how did they word the Big Brother? They called it a state of emergency.
Yeah, state of emergency.
Yeah, yeah. Explain that to them, Big Brother.
Well, David Duke and the Klan were down here in Olive Branch, Mississippi, which is pretty much considered to be a suburb of Memphis, but it's actually Mississippi. But David Duke and his merry gang of henchmen were called themselves doing a rally and stuff down here this week. As a matter of fact, the whole week. And some of the brothers were like, "Man, we not going for that down here. Y'all going on with that?" And so because the brothers were saying they wasn't gonna have it, it automatically turned into a state of emergency. By which I just heard a little while ago that the Klan rally had been canceled.
Yeah, they canceled it. they so-called canceled it. We don't know if that's a weapon of mass destruction or not, but you know what I'm saying? It was good to see the brothers be like, "Oh, no, you know what I'm saying? You start some shit, we going to finish it." You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Yeah, so that was a beautiful thing right there, you know. So, yeah, I mean, it's not fun and games down here. Now, you do have a lot of, they do got a couple of Obama parties going on down here. Now, like I said, I ain't got nothing against the brother. I'm just not convinced that, I mean, the brother ain't said nothing even about the working poor, you know, let alone them not being the race man, you know what I'm saying? The brother ain't said nothing about the working poor, you know. We know ain't no real such thing as a black middle class, you know what I'm saying?
So,
you know,
hold on, now that's not true. Why are you being like that all on the radio?
I'm
just saying, if you just said that, you know, the first technique of Huey P. and Bobby Seale was to make sure that you have political power, at least he is doing that part. At least he was able to get into that game and learn those techniques and learn all those things more so than the average black man has and will. You know, so, I mean, I don't understand why you're saying that, because he's gone that length, and he also has a sister that's beside him that pretty much is the same way. She understands. They seem to be very sane, you know, black people that understand, you know, there is a such thing as working middle class people. I live in Atlanta. That's nothing but working middle class people here. And there's a bunch of black millionaires that live here. And there's also a couple of black billionaires that live here. So I just disagree with you on that particular, you know, thing, because I just don't believe that that's true.
If I can speak for a minute, this is Brother Inko Yuhu in Durham, North Carolina. You know, if you look up, all you got to do, I know you have a computer, you know, just go to your computer and look up U.S. wealth statistics. And, you know, the information is right there. It'll tell you, you know, what type of wealth that we have in this society. And it's the same wealth that we had in 1865. You know, it's less than 1%. So as a people, you know, you might see a few people with shiny things and fancy cars. But as a group, as a group of Africans in America, we are definitely way at the bottom of the totem pole.
We have definitely been led by Caucasians, and there's an opportunity for that to change, and there's somebody at least showing you some type of way that he can do that. He has experienced the same thing that we have experienced, mostly as black people, which is growing up in a single-parent home. He understands certain concepts that other people cannot, so we've been led by the oppressor all this time, and that's why we're only 1%. So you have somebody that's saying, "I understand that. I'm in the same boat as a majority of the whole world, which is pretty much quote-unquote minorities, and I'm able to say that I want to change that."
But
so if you're not giving him the opportunity, you continue to say, "I don't believe in him, I don't believe in him," okay, then you might as well vote for McCain like the rest. You might as well go down to the KKK rally and join them if he's not convincing you. But who is McCain convincing you? You got to vote for somebody.
You know,
somebody's
going
to run.
You're talking very fast, sister.
But you're not,
the only thing you're saying is what you're feeling. And I understand your emotion that you would like to see somebody step up and do something in this society. But just because he's saying that, does that make it so? I mean, look at what he has done. You know, I look at the type of things that this man has done. You know, when you look at, you know, he went to a church for over 10 years, you know, and, you know, then all of a sudden, just because he's running for president, he decides he doesn't need that congregation no more. You know, it's the type of things that folks do that we got to look at and say, you know, do we want to be a part of this? And everybody should have that choice. you know, it, you know, that's just one thing that I don't understand is why people that talk about choice and doing better don't want, you know, everybody to have a choice. And the only way you can really have a choice is if you check the information. You know
exactly.
what I'm saying? You got to check the information for yourself and come up with a decision.
But you only have two choices. You only have two choices, though. You have McCain or Barack. That's it. That's all that you have.
The media froze Cynthia McKinney out the whole thing. You know what I'm saying? Now,
either way, one of them is going to be your president. It's going to be our president, no matter if you like it or not. So the one out of the two, he is going to be the better candidate.
I'm not necessarily the person, but I know a lot of Christians say they choose Jesus, so. He ain't on the ballot.
Well, exactly. So we're talking about, I mean, let's be real about it. The reality is that you're either going to have to choose John McCain or Barack Obama. If you do not personally, we as a people are going to have to either choose John McCain or Barack Obama. If nobody chooses anybody, Jesus is not going to come down and run the country for us.
Mm-hmm.
And if not, and if we do not do that, then George Bush is going to stay where he is.
Well, you know, Barack Obama doesn't run the country. You know what I'm saying? Even him being president, if that's what we're trying to tell you. So
I understand. First of all, I'm not retarded.
Because
I understand what you're trying to say, but what I'm saying at the end of the day, you only have one choice.
You
have to make the choice.
You're partying. That's what you're thinking. You know, you're in a party mode. But
so who did you vote for? Who did you vote for?
I voted for the creator. You know what I'm saying? I voted for
him. Oh, God.
You know what I'm saying? That's what
okay. But either way, one of those people is going to run. Either way, one of those people is going to be the president. Either way, whether you like it or not, whether you voted for Jesus, didn't go to the poll or not, one of those people is going to run this country for the next 4 years, or his quote unquote team of people.
What does running the country entail? The same people that caused the problem that we're experiencing right now are the backers of one of the candidates. You know, so
what I hear from you is that you want to just, that you don't mind if things just stay the same.
No, we're not saying that.
You want me to go look on the computer and go check all this information and just say, you know what I'm saying? At least there is an opportunity or some type of hope here, no matter what you say, that he's not going to do it. He really said that he's going to do blah, 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 blah. That means that we don't have faith in ourselves as a people. That means that we don't have faith that this man can actually say anything. Yes.
Hold on, brothers and sisters. We're gonna have to let each other talk now. We gotta work this thing out. So let's go on. Let one person talk at one time.
This is Ayele, and no one's saying that we wish the brother ill will, that the brother don't have what the qualifications to be where he is. But what we're saying is that people that know who the council for foreign relations is, you know, people that know about the Kennedys, the Trilateral Commission, the Carlisle Group, and the whole nine yards. These are people that are informed on stuff that people in the mainstream are not even aware of. So when we're saying that we hope that the brother do some good, that's exactly what we mean, that we hope that the brother do some good, you know what I'm saying? But when you look at the facts are suggesting that people like Zbigniew Brzezinski, which is one of his council people, you know what I'm saying, wrote an amendment that says that black people in the United States should never unite, black people in Africans on the continent should never unite, and Africans in America and outside of America should never unite for reasons of national security. So we know this about the Zbigniew. If Brzezinski is sitting on your council, then that causes some doubt. That's all we're saying. And no one's saying that the brother's not, you know, equipped to do whatever. But sometimes we let emotionalism get involved, and it's not an emotional thing or whatever. It's just about being informed on who you make your decision. You know.
But again, there's still only two. We gotta still understand. There's only two people here. Both of them, to you, okay, don't seem like they're qualified. To you. Okay, they may be qualified, but still,
Cynthia
Donald
McKinney is running also now.
Who?
Cynthia McKinney from Atlanta is running under the Green Party.
I'm talking about the presidency, though. That's what I thought.
That's
we
what
were
I'm talking
about.
She is running for president of the United States under the Green Party.
Term? She's not running fight for this. She's not this term that's coming up. When I went to the poll, I didn't see her name. I didn't see Cynthia McKinney's name at all on the polls out here.
You didn't?
She's running.
I didn't. When I say I didn't see her name at all on nothing out here, I voted earlier today. I didn't see her name on anything.
Is she from Atlanta, too?
Yeah, but I'm telling you what I saw and what I did not see. If I would have seen her name, clearly I would have put an X by it, but her name was nowhere to be found.
She's from Atlanta.
Yeah, that's because she was purposely frozen.
You prove our case right there, sister. You prove the point right there. Thank you. It's not a question of two options. Maybe it's more than two, you know. Maybe
I was only giving two, and the Georgia voters were only giving two. I'm not sure what y'all were giving in Tennessee and in Illinois, but out here was only two choices.
You should file a complaint about that. I think that's what
exactly.
You
yeah, exactly.
They
lied to you. They told you only had two choices. You had three.
Yeah, you really
and
did.
And one was
you
from
know,
your own hometown.
Yeah, and she's from.
Y'all
Atlanta,
saw y'all had y'all saw Cynthia McKinney on y'all ballots when y'all
she
went
came
to the polls.
She came to Springfield. She
came
to our town not too long ago.
Yeah, I didn't go to the polls.
I said, did you see her on y'all poll when y'all went to cast y'all? Did you see her name?
I don't do that. I find other ways to express my understanding of what's going on.
You know,
you don't vote.
No, the only politics
I have other ways of
people is the politics of revolution.
So everybody on the phone, nobody voted on the phone, but y'all feel like y'all entitled really to an opinion.
I'm not entitled to one because I didn't?
people that do not vote really don't have an opinion and have no reason to even
really?
Speak. That's what I'm telling you what I feel about
it. I mean, what if I was just...
Yes, I'm saying really. That's what I feel about it. Your vote doesn't count, neither does your opinion count at this time.
But if I was sitting bull and I didn't want to vote, my opinion wouldn't count, right?
That's what I'm saying to you.
Okay. Well, I have no problem with that.
Yeah, well, see, you know what I'm saying? The only politics that's relevant to black people is the politics of revolution. You know what I'm saying? You can drive a car so long to where you can no longer make repairs to it. America is so messed up, it can't be fixed from the inside out. You know what I'm saying? So we're going to have to, even if, you know, like Yelly said, we wish the brother no ill will. I actually hope he gets the job just on the strength of being the brother. I'm just not betting my last paycheck on him. That's all I'm saying.
And you know, I feel the same way because maybe then it will help our people see what really be happening, what really be going on, because they got their hopes all jacked up right now.
But if that was the solution, if you read J.A. Rogers, five Negro presidents,
they got their hopes all jacked up.
Six black presidents, you'll understand that we've already been through this. So
that's right.
You know, Jefferson, I mean Lincoln, Eisenhower, Harding.
I mean, you guys have to understand, at one point, things have to break and things automatically, by universal law, things have to change. By universal law, that's what has to happen. So at this point, we already understand at one point in time, quote-unquote, how y'all call them crackers or Caucasians were given a certain amount of time to rule certain things, and that time is expired. That time is up. Y'all have to understand that. By universal law, this thing has to turn around some way, somehow. And if not, that means that I will not then believe in the Creator anymore if this does not turn around.
Well, you know,
that would be problematic for me as universal law is concerned.
In 1948, the Secretary of, I think it was the Interior, he told the government, he said, look, you know, we're having trouble preaching our Americanism around the planet to all the different nations because they say, you still got black folks, you know, going to color, drinking fountains and stuff like that. So they said, we have to change the appearance of the situation in America. And if we remember that back in 2001, there was a situation right before September 11th where the United States got kicked off of the United Nations Human Rights Commission.
Exactly.
They had to walk out the United with the World Conference on Racism. Amnesty International had declared that their prisons was the worst prisons in the world. You dig?
Mm-hmm.
And then all of a sudden they create this big old diversion. You know what I mean? And so guess why they had to walk out the World Conference on Racism? And their number one spokesman was Colin Powell.
Mm-hmm.
They nobody want to hear no white folks talking from America no more around the world. So they had to change the image, you know, but like the bumper sticker says all throughout the South, it's the White House, nigga. And, you know, there's an article I read out of, I think, The Nation magazine not too long ago called Wooing White Workers. And it was talking about, you know, when white folks went out to encourage folks to vote for Barack Obama, they ran into white folks and said, you know, we know how black folks are. They say what we want in front of us. And then when they get by themselves, you know, we can't trust them when they get with them other black people. And what they told them, they said, well, you know, He was raised by his black family. And so we really don't have to worry about him because he has the views that we want him to have.
Right. Right.
There was a case.
We also know that.
On the past weekend, right before the this election thing, where it came up that he had his father's sister was living in the United States and wanted to live in the United States and applied for asylum and asked his black father's sister and asked for permission to stay here, and they turned her down, and she was still in the projects in Boston. And when asked what he thought about it, he said enforce the law.
Yeah. Yeah, I tell you what, I'm going to play this little cut. Let's take a quick musical interlude. I'm going to play this cut here.
But brother, before you do that, can I get out this article I was telling about The Nation? It's October the 13th, 2008. It's called Wooing the White Working Class, okay?
All right.
Read that article. It's talking about how they encouraged white folks to feel comfortable with our guy now.
Yeah. Dig it. Dig it. Okay. Yeah. And say that again for him.
Nation Magazine, October 13, 2008. Wooing the White Working Class.
Mm. Yeah, I'm going to have to pull that up online. Real.
Everybody's on the computer. Go on, get it while we take this break.
Yes, sir. Y'all check this out. We'll be right back. Real Talk with Brothers Keeper.
Yes. They say that this is a historical moment, so allow me to get historical inside of this moment. My people, whatever you do, be for who be for you. Lucius Septimius Severus, O ye black emperor of Rome. Barack Hussein Obama, black president of the brave people's home. Lucius Septimius Severus, O ye black emperor of Rome. Lucius, born in Africa, this history is crazy. Septimius became the emperor of Rome in 193 A.D. Severus, we had high hopes for you, every African man, woman, and baby. But you became the metaphor of a weeping willow tree, so sad, so shady. You went along with their brutality. You went along with their insanity. In disregard for non-Roman humanity, you rejected your own history and adopted a Roman identity. Lucius Septimius Severus, O ye black emperor of Rome. Barack Hussein Obama, black president of the brave people's home. Oprah Winfrey's best friend is influential and her name is Gail. All best friends are influential and Barack Obama's best friend seems to be Israel. Even with glowing lights and makeup, the ugly truth can never hide. A black leader from South Africa recently went to Israel and said the treatment of Palestinians looks just like apartheid. Some say your speech on race was a nice try. You've given the image that you're a very, very nice guy and an oh-so-peaceful man. But I've read the transcripts of your speeches, and you want to bomb Iran. And you want to expand the war in Afghanistan. Man, oh man, how will you explain to your daughters why Israel can have nuclear weapons, but Iran cannot? How America can have nuclear weapons, but Iran cannot? Hey, even South Africa under white rule could have nuclear weapons, but Iran cannot. Without using double standards, giving an answer, you cannot. Lucius Septimius Severus, O ye black emperor of Rome. Barack Hussein Obama, black president of the brave people's home. Lucius Septimius Severus, O ye black emperor of Rome. You did not change the imperial policies of previous Caesars. You created fools out of those who were your serious believers. You defended the interests of Rome and not the interests of your father's home. You prided yourself as a black man who was a true patriot of Rome. You alone, man, became the most loyal Rome man. History is a current event, so the past is the present and the present is the past. To you, Rome came first and Africa came last. The perceived source of relief is the source of our belief. That's why we believed in you so prematurely. 2,000 seasons later, you think that we would mature, see? You with just your smile and an oath to defend all things Roman. In the autumn of 2008, will we still fall for seductive symbols and tokens? Lucius Septimius Severus, O ye black emperor of Rome. Barack Hussein Obama, black president of the brave people's home. So the next time you go to Florida on family vacation to scuba in Key Largo, look 90 miles to the south and explain why you kiss up to China but support the Cuban embargo. Does that make your sponsors giggle? Not a lot, but maybe a little. Will they quibble with this riddle? What's worse? The fact that Bill Clinton had Monica Lewinsky, or the fact that your top foreign policy advisor is Zbigniew Brzezinski. You know, one of the guys behind the Trilateral Commission. You know, one of the guys who believes that a lie is not a lie if it's a lie by omission. You know, one of the guys who believes that the rule of law is legal fiction. You know, one of the guys who is the prescription glasses to David Rockefeller's world domination blurry vision. You know, one of the guys who thinks that double speak is perfect diction. You know, one of the guys who thinks rubbing shoulders with evil is good for friction. But your supporters are electrified by you, galvanized by you, hypnotized and magnetized by you. They say you're playing chess on a very high level, but some of us don't play chess with the devil. We play a game called confess with the devil. No, some of us don't play chess with the devil. Yo, we play a game called stress with the devil. A continent of the oldest kings and the oldest queens demand your loyalty. The key to playing chess is to never lose your royalty. Would-be first lady, it's not too late for you to check your mate. Lucius Septimius Severus, O ye black emperor of Rome. Barack Hussein Obama, black president of the self-proclaimed brave people's home. Painted in staccato is the airbrushed image of the tragic magic mulatto. Kenya, Kenya, Kenya become president with elation and forget about grandma in a neo-colonized East African nation. It's a hell of a situation when Dick Cheney is a family relation. What's the proper allegiance when you have the historical grievance of a black people under siege? When a country stabs you in the back and makes it a crime when you bleed? Abraham Lincoln is your hero, but the Emancipation Proclamation was a zero because there was no one in freed. A country whose fruits came from the extermination and the experimentation of the red and black seeds. Jeremiah Wright was right, he never lied when he preached about the book Medical Apartheid. But you condemned his plead, cause you know and I know that Americans don't read. Is it possible to be a patriotic American and a good world citizen? Is it possible to be a good American and a high octane African in a land where the national pastime is not baseball but deceiving, deceiving, deceiving? You may wake up and be seeing Lucius Septimius Severus starring as Barack Hussein Obama in a new epic movie called Change You Can Believe In. Whatever you do, be for who be for you. Ha.
Whatever you do, be for who be for you. That was done up to Brother Hey Rue with Real Talk with Brothers. Keep it welcome black, y'all. Welcome black. Hey, what y'all think about that piece right there?
Brother, it's right on time. Let me say, can I say before I get started and get accused of just being, you know, I got opinions about different groups of folks on this earth that I keep to myself for the sake of moving the program forward, but I don't got time to be hating some folks, you know, because I know they done enough that's going to take care of them. But on the question of the, just in case I get used on, accused of only dealing with black sources, here's a Rolling Stone article from August 21st, 2008. It's called, it's in the section called National Affairs, Campaign 2008. It's called Candidates for Sale. So I just want to say, and it's by Matt Taibbi, T-A-I-B-B-I. And I just want to say, you know, I'm not one of those people that believe people that want to get close. I'm not one of those folks that believe in choosing between the lesser of two evils. I think we got to choose no evil and know that our Creator is going to get our back even more.
Okay, that's understandable. That's understandable. And Brother Kelly said,
oh, I love brothers for real. Y'all killing me. Y'all are killing me tonight. For real. I mean, those are not your options right now. I understand the Creator. I understand that. Really, I do. But you have, okay. Never mind. I don't want my emotions to take over because the reality is there is a reality that there is somebody that regardless if you think the Creator is going to run this, blah, 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 there's still somebody that you need to choose for. And if you want to look on your Google, you got to Google and say that you understand that the ancestors did die for us to have the right to vote, for you to say that you don't even vote, period, and then have a whole caucus about how you feel about something, it is really irritating me. Because if you all say that you all for human rights and if there was a human rights committee and you were running for presidency or some type of office in your human rights committee or whoever was a part of that, you would want people to go vote for you You know, you want them to believe what you said, that you're going to do what you say that you're going to do. It's the same concept.
Well, I mean, that's understandable, sister, but we also have to understand that, I mean, there are people who, I mean, okay, I'm just going to put it out there. It's two parts of the movement. You have your above ground, you have your underground. Certain things have to be above ground. Certain things have to be done above ground. We just the type of cats, we don't deal with the above ground. That's it, you know, and we have no problem with those who do. I mean, that's your place and that's what you're supposed to do, you know what I'm saying? But we just strictly deal with the underground. You know what I mean? And that's all right for that, you know what I'm saying? We're not saying that y'all are wrong, and we understand that our ancestors bled and died and were lynched for the right to vote. But in my personal opinion, they were misled.
But that wasn't what they bled and died for. What they bled and died for was for freedom. You know, it was for human rights, for human dignity. That's what they bled and died for, and what happened each time they bled and died. So you just can't start with, most people look at 1865, but you can't start there. You know, you got to start from the beginning. You know, when first we were dealing with all these various countries, just take the British, for example. You know, with the British, you know, you fought Queen Anne's War, you know, Prince William's War. You know, then when it became a country, you know, you fought for their independence. And then you fought the War of 1812. You fought the French and Indian Wars with them. You know, you fought the Civil War. You know, you went to World War One, World War Two, and picked on Grenada. You know, Haiti. You know, Cuba. You know, they used black soldiers to do that. And while the rest of the people were still what, enslaved, going through Jim Crow laws and everything else. So when you look up the history of voting. And you see that there was some black people voting during slavery times.
Does anybody know an elector? Because I understand that if 200 million folks go and vote for somebody, if 270 so-called electors go and vote for somebody else, the party's over. And whoever voted for that.
Yeah,
that's true too.
I mean, even if we
if
look at...
If you're going to take my money, you better be better than me. You just ain't going to punk me out and take my money.
Yeah, I mean, just look at recent history. We've had two presidents, even in my lifetime, who have won the people's vote, but still didn't end up in the White House.
Look at George Bush. Go back to 1876.
You dig what I'm saying? You know, so I mean, we're not mad at people because they choose to vote. You know what I'm saying?
Dang, I mean,
we just not.
Then to be accused of being wrong because you have an opinion as to why you don't do it. I mean, I think I should be put down if I don't got no opinion on why I don't do what I do, you know. But what we're trying to bring is information to back up why we don't do what we do. And I think the fact that there's like five of us on the phone and only one that do, I think that says that our people done come a long way, you know. And regardless of what folks say to me, I know dang on well from where I started and what I started doing 25 years ago.
Well, y'all don't take this the wrong way. I mean, this is the most opportune time for my battery to be dying out. So y'all that don't vote, y'all can you really still speak amongst each other about that? You understand? Because that is just, I don't understand. But my battery is dying. So let me charge my phone up when I call back. But so y'all have a caucus amongst yourself about how y'all don't vote and y'all, you know what I'm saying, and nothing's really going to change. Regardless, stuff is going to change whether y'all wanted to or not, whether you vote or don't vote. But it would have been helpful for you to actually to cast some type of vote and then really, you know, really have really be able to speak on what you're speaking on.
Sister, you know, I think also you also got to think to yourself that maybe, you know, you need to listen to what we're saying more, you know, instead of, you know.
I've already been where you are. My mind changed a long time ago. I've been where you've been. I done been really, really extremist. I done been all the way there, but my mind changed with maturity and with, you know, with time. All that changed for me because it just wasn't really working out for the best of my ability and for the greater good for me to be like that, for me to be one-sided, for me to be all the way underground, for me to be all the way RBG, for me to be all the way like that. I'm a very serious person. You better understand that, but I was already like that, and it just doesn't benefit me to be like that anymore. It doesn't benefit me, and I understand that it just wasn't working for me any longer. Because it's good to be able to play both sides. It's good to be able to say I'm on the forefront and I also help underneath. But somebody got to be able to play both sides. Somebody got to be able to do these things. So you got all y'all on one side that's is underground by yourself. Y'all going to need the help of somebody else. You don't even know if Barack's going to go back to Richard Wright and say, hey, man, you know, I just really had to do that just because, you know.
I'm above ground. We're not underground. I got red, black, green. I'm looking at my red, black, and green flag right now in front of my house, you know, with the transmitter on top, you know, speaking to my people every day. So, you know.
I'm not underground either.
You know, I'm right in my community doing the work. So that's what we're trying to put forth. You know, we got to make the effort to change our communities ourselves. You know, Barack Obama done told y'all that he can't do nothing for you. You got to do it yourself.
What do you say?
You know, we've been saying that.
He said it's a nation of immigrants.
Yeah.
Well, I don't think you immigrated.
That's right.
Whether you want to admit it or not.
Yeah, that's what he did say. Now, he did say, you know, no matter who you elect as your president, you're going to have to change your condition for yourself. You know, when I heard him say that, you know what I'm saying, I respected him a whole lot for even making that statement.
Well, when I gave you that Rolling Stone article, what they said in that article said, if you ain't betting with Barack Obama, you ain't betting with Wall Street. So, I mean, I ain't on all that dumb stuff, man. You know, I'm just going to tell you like that.
Yeah.
Skip all that. They wouldn't even let the Clintons, who's got a dynasty, raise money in California. They ought to have made big money in California, but they wouldn't even let them out there.
No, you can't have that.
Larry Muffley wrote something back in the summer called The Amazing Money Machine, talking about how Silicon Valley, I mean, you know, think of all the black organizations in this country and how much money they raise, are able to raise. And this cat can raise more money in 1 month than both Democratic and Republican conventions.
Yeah, for sure.
It ain't fried chicken dinners.
No.
And you know, I'm going to tell you something. I got a clue for you. It might blow folks away, but the fact of the matter is, whoever pay you is who you owe.
It's who you work for.
That's the fact. And when he can put 500 folks in Florida, McCain can put 75 in Florida. Recognize, man. They need to go before the world, and nobody wants to listen to these white folks no more. Mm-hmm. Period. So
they need a new face, brother. That's
come here, Buckwheat. Come here, Buckwheat.
Yeah.
Come here. You know, they've always used them.
And I certainly do understand where Sister Queen is coming from. You know, when you
ain't mad at it.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I ain't mad at it. You know what I'm saying? I understand, you know, through all our trials and tribulations and persecutions, Lord. You know what I'm saying? Here comes
say it ain't so, Mr. Charlie.
Carry our dreams, you know what I'm saying? And you want to believe. It's like how our sisters do. You know, they know the cat ain't no good, but they willingly believe the lie.
Exactly.
You know what I'm saying? And that's where we are. And like I said, I hope I'm wrong. You know what I'm saying? I hope for Brother Yelda and I were talking earlier.
Brother, if you're wrong, then the sun has never shined.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. You know, historically, we own the sun. You know, even...
Well,
I mean,
let's go back. Let's, because, you know, what we do in the Human Rights Radio Network, we try to talk, you know, yeah, I'm emotional, and my emotions do have a lot to do with everything I do, and I'm proud of that because I'm a human being, and I ain't got no problem with that. But the fact of the matter is, I better be factual about what I'm talking about, too.
Exactly.
So let's go back. Remember that in the first 50 years of this country, 8 of the first 12 presidents were slaveholders. So what hell could a president have to do for you that the Constitution would require?
Exactly.
Nothing.
And now, you know,
absolutely.
I know my people are going to say the 13th, 14th, 15th Amendment, but you know there's a thing called the roll has to be called whenever time something getting voted on, okay? My brother Hinkle brought this to my attention. That there's a thing, and this is something for the listeners on the web program can listen, can go do. Look up the congressional record when they voted on the 13th, 14th, and 15th Amendment. Look it up. See if they had what they call a quorum present when they voted. Because, you know, before cats get together, these dirty dogs, they'll get together, two of them out of 500, and vote on something, call it a law. So they had to pass a rule saying so many of them got to be there, so nothing dirty like that happened, right? Call it a quorum. You know, you hear about that, Robert's Rules of Order, right?
Yeah.
And so was there a quorum present when it came time to vote on those amendments that gave you, your liberation?
That's right.
But if not, then you need to review Article 1, Section 2, Clause 3, Article 1, Section 9, Clause 1, Article 4, Section 2, Clause 3, Article 1, Section 8, Clause 15, Article 1, Section 8, Clause 9, Article 5, and Article 4, Section 4. Review them. Them's what the heart and soul of the Constitution is about. It's about capturing you, enslaving the living hell out of you up in this country.
Yeah.
If you think
and also,
lying,
they can,
Also, they can check out those UCC codes and
okay.
see exactly what that means
okay.
in today's present time.
Mm-hmm.
But and what we experience is we experience so much of a lack of wanting to know information.
Well, you know,
so
brother,
many of us,
brother, you know,
so
I
many,
can't. It's because we done gave up on the Creator. We kind of like get, you know, got to an earthly kind of like a support system. And
yeah.
Of course, if you just think it's up to Brother Yele and Brother Jamalo or Brother Inko or Sister Queen or myself to provide for you the things that you need, then of course you know we're gonna, you know, we're not capable of dealing with this red, white, and blue monster by ourselves.
That's right.
But you know what? Don't, if you don't believe in the unseeable, then you stop breathing and call me a liar.
Exactly.
That's what my teacher used to teach me.
Yeah.
Like
one, one thing I want to. We got about 5 minutes left. Well, actually 4 minutes. And I want to talk real quickly. The sister said, and this happened so many times, Brother Yella and myself have even talked about that spirit of disappointment.
Mm-hmm.
And we see that in the so-called nationalist community that, you know, and most of us who think on a nationalist basis do not participate in the so-called political process. And what we see now with so-called nationalists registering people to vote, you know, that's what we've seen for this election. You know what I'm saying? And what it seems, you know, what seems that has happened that, you know, since we have been up until this point, really unable to build some type of independent infrastructure to sustain ourselves on an independent basis, we're going back into that mode of thinking of faith and hope in this American system. What do y'all think about that?
Well, I agree. I agree 100%. But, you know, there's still a lot of us out here at the grassroots level. And see, you know, and that's why, you know, brothers like yourself, you know, and the Queen and others who are trying to participate in their community and try to keep somewhat of their culture going, that's why you have to keep studying. You know, the information is there. You know, it's people say it was hidden from us for a long time, but now it's there. And so the more we be aware of what we can accomplish, then the easier all the goals that we're seeking will come into being. You know, I always say all those people, you know, a lot of those people who vote today is for reparations, you know, but they ain't never demanded it like that. You know, if we demand reparations like we voted today, then they would have to give it to us.
Yeah.
But we got to have the information to know that is something that it is really due us. You know, if you don't have that information, then you ain't going to fight for it.
Yeah. Yeah. Anybody else? We got 2 minutes left.
Well, I could add to what Brother Inko was saying was that just simply, our understanding that we are human beings and that our great creative spirit put us in this creation with a purpose. And that if we, unlike all other aspects of the creation, have an option as whether we will or will not be about what our Almighty Creator has put us here to be. And if we can learn the knowledge that those who came before us left for us to pick up, we can be about what we're supposed to be about. And we don't have to be waiting to see who gets into the White House. It doesn't matter. If you understand that when you got more black police chiefs, you went to jail more. You got more judges, you stayed longer in the jail. Now, think about having a black president. They're going to say racism is dead. What are y'all complaining about? Get into that camp.
Yeah. Brother Yele, go on and close us out. Brother Yele?
Yeah.
Yeah, go on and close us out, big bro.
Well, I just want to say, man, is that what we have seen is the state of our people right now, man. We're hopeless. And now we're grabbing for straws, you know what I'm saying? And nobody's willing to do any research to figure out what is really going on. Nobody wants to do any research on the Carlyle Group. And we know that there were two black men inducted into the Carlyle Group in 2006, and that was Harold Ford Jr. and Barack Obama. You know, so, I mean, we know, most of us know about the Trilateral Commission. Most of us know about the Council of Foreign Affairs and Relations or whatever, Council of Foreign Relations. But we want to be willfully blind. We want to be We want to have a savior. We want someone to save us because we don't want to save ourselves. But even after Barack gets in office, which he's going to be in office, I'm almost sure of that. But once he gets in office, then what? When black folks still can't feed themselves because the same people that caused this economic crunch is the same people that's funding the person that they want to be in office. So when we can't feed ourselves and we still can't afford to live on our own and these jobs are constantly closing down and the whole nine yards, what the hell are we going to do then? Who going to be the next savior then?
Yep.
Are we going to look at Donald Duck as being the savior? Are we going to look at Mickey Mouse as being a savior? I mean, what are we going to do? So while we're celebrating and we're partying right now, we need to be stacking some food back. We need to be stacking some water back.
Mm-hmm.
We need to be stacking some ammunition back simply because we live in America and you cannot change the beast from its belly.
So can't. Well, we thank you, brothers, for tuning in with us and kicking it with us on this evening. And Sister Queen, she said her phone battery was dying. And one thing we're really going to have to learn is to quit falling out, you know what I'm saying? And for real, though, I mean, and we do that all the time, you know what I'm saying? We ain't mad at nobody because they voted, you know what I'm saying? I mean, that's your right. That's what you do, you know what I'm saying? Don't be mad at us because we don't, you know what I'm saying?
Brother Jamala, can I say? I think it's a positive sign for the African captive community that four or five of us came together on a night that's supposed to be so meaningful to black folks. And,
yeah.
And the Creator let it be known to everybody that listens to this program that four out of five of us know what we're supposed to be about.
Yeah, ain't that
exactly.
That is beautiful.
What they going to do with that?
That's beautiful. That is beautiful. That's beautiful. And I guess that's it for this episode of Real Talk with Brothers Keeper. It's been very interesting this evening. And you know what? Since the sister does have a show, we're going to end the show with a tune of hers called Garveyism. So in the spirit of the red, black, and the green, you know what I'm saying? We have to have, if we're going to have faith in anything, we're going to have to learn to have faith in each other. Like you said, brother, on the grassroots level. You know what I'm saying? We're going to have to change our conditions for ourselves. Now, like we said, hopefully the brother get in there and do some good work. You know what I'm saying? But we know what happens when you put an onion, one onion, in a batch of apples. All the apples end up being bad. You know what I'm saying? So just because you put an apple in the midst of a bunch of onions, the apple ain't going to turn the onions good, is it?
They kill white presidents.
Yeah, exactly.
Don't do what they're told.
You know, seriously. You know, so of course we wish the brother no ill will because he is a brother and he has family. You know what I'm saying? So of course we're not saying that. We're just saying history teaches us otherwise. And Brother Malcolm already told us about history being the most qualified teacher of them all when told properly.
Right.
You dig what I'm saying? So we want to thank everyone for tuning in with Real Talk with Brothers Keeper every Tuesday at this time. Same black channel, same black time. We're going to holler black at y'all. RBG for life, black power, y'all.
Garveyism, yo. You be my black and I'll be your green and we'll bleed the blood of our ancestors loving us together will bring Africa to America will sow forgiveness and reap the gold that was once stolen will build black and buy black and border black and be black will get green and grow green and gobble green and gain green will rinse red and rhyme red and reflect red and finish red. If you be my black and I'll be your green and we'll bleed the blood of our ancestors love and we'll be free and fight for them cause they need a leader and it be we and you be the sun and I'll be the moon and you are one and I am two and we'll drop your jewels on these ignorant fools and teach them knowledge and shepherd home and then love, portray peace and harbor happiness. And yo, yo, you be my black and I'll be your green, and we'll bleed the blood of our ancestors love, and we'll warm my bodies with Ethiopian tea and plan a revolution every day of the week. We'll meditate on Monday, taught technique on Tuesday, rights war on Wednesday, tally troops on Thursday, follow through on Friday, strategize on Saturday, see plan on Sunday. And yo, I love you more than Rita Love Roberts, Lauren Love Wyclef, Betty Love Malcolm X. You be my black and I'll be your green, and we'll bleed the blood of our ancestors loving. To unify our union, I'll lace your wrist with leather, you'll dress my neck in pearls. I'll bet you baby boys and then to baby girls, we'll christen them with myrrh. If yo, 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 you be my black.